This is Sunday morning, October the 20th, 2019. And this teaching is called Already Done, the Victory Won. I want to read to you a psalm that the Lord gave me back on 8/26/18. It's called Already Done. It's already done, the victory is won. Already done because of Jesus the Son. Already done, God's word says it's so. Already done, Jesus brought down the foe. Already done, act like you believe. Already done, see the Lord's reprieve. Already done, for greater is He. Already done, it is done in me. Eight new beginnings right there. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Let this be the day of new beginnings for you. Well, people enjoy their life. They do not hide out or avoid people. It is time to act like the Word of God is true in what it says about you. The Great Shepherd is leading you through the valley of the shadow of death, not the valley of death. He is causing you to grow strong and not be ruled by fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Jesus said, "It is finished." Okay, let's start looking at a few scriptures here. This is John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Right here from the Orthodox Study Bible, the Septuagint, the commentary says, "Finished is better translated accomplished or fulfilled. Not meaning Christ's life is ended, but showing his divine plan of salvation has now been completed. Everything you'll ever be in him, you already are. It's already an established fact." Like the little word of prophecy the Lord gave me just before this. It's an already done thing as far as God is concerned. And so what is he doing? He is allowing, people say, "Well, God doesn't use sickness, God doesn't use this or that to teach you something." That's not what I'm saying here. He does allow the enemy to do whatever he does so that we will rise up and put him in his place. He doesn't stop the enemy from doing it. Why? Because he's given us authority. Jesus said it's already done. He already stripped the devil, yanked his power, took the keys of death and hell. So as a believer, we have that authority in Jesus' name to tread on serpents and scorpions, it says, over all the power of the enemy. So nothing can hurt you. What's the problem then? Your belief. See, there's two systems at work here. One says, I think I feel. The other one says, what I believe. Just because I don't feel good, that doesn't mean I'm sick. It means the enemy is coming at me, and I have to stand my ground. Okay. In the word, in the Strong's Concordance, the word salvation is soteria, and it means rescue or safety. In the vine, soteria denotes deliverance, preservation, salvation. Salvation is used in the New Testament of material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. It's used nationally for deliverance. Personal as from the sea. Safety as in health or prison. Or the flood. Of the spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. In whom alone it is to be obtained. And upon confession of him as Lord. Gives the scriptures here. For this purpose, the gospel is a saving instrument of the present experience of God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin, where the special, though not the entire reference, is to the maintenance of peace and harmony. This present experience of the part of believers is virtually equivalent to sanctification. For this purpose, God is able to make them wise. They are not to neglect it. Of the future deliverance of believers at the parousia of Christ for his saints, the salvation which is the object of their confident hope. Occasionally, a standing virtually for the Savior in ascriptions of praise to God as to that which is his prerogative to bestow. So what's all this saying? Through all these scriptures here, I didn't give the scripture references, but there's scriptures all through the New Testament that say God has rescued. He already has done it for you. He's already accomplished salvation. I could do a summary like Gloria Copeland always says, nothing missing, nothing broken, peace, shalom, wholeness, soundness in every area, basically is what Vines is saying here concerning the word salvation. You could say Psalms 23. Now we're going to read that. Psalms 23. We're on a journey. The journey is Psalms 23. We're on a journey with the shepherd. He's in the lead. And he's telling us what's going to happen in the valley of the shadows. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, provision. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Provision. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peace. He restores my soul. Peace. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, false evidence that appears real, I will fear no evil. It's like you're going through a spook house. Think about it. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So we have full provision, health, wealth, peace, a table before our enemies. In the midst of all the trials and everything, this is what's going on. This is where we are. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father's house. He said the shadows are going to come on this journey, but you have no lack, no want. You're well. You have peace. Your soul's at peace and rest. You're beside green pastures. But here comes the spooks. The valley of the shadows. When I first started teaching this many years ago, the Lord gave me kind of a Peter Pan. Peter Pan tried to knock out his shadow. I think the shadow actually knocked him out, from what I remember. But the Lord said, this is the way Satan is. It's just shadows that can't hurt you. Like Jerry Savelle's saying, a shadow of a dog never bit anyone. Okay, now I'm going to take a little different turn here. I would have never connected the two, but the Lord connected the two, so I guess they connect. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He began to talk to me about partaking of communion. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul talking here, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you think it, or as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. Now this is key. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So this is what the Lord began to say to me. He said, when partaking of communion, the participant is partaking of Jesus Christ's resurrected body. The word discern there means to decide. Which way will you call it? We have the God that calls those things to be not as other were. So what the Lord was saying to me is this. It's not, we've thought, well, I better not take communion. I've sinned. I did something wrong or something. I don't feel worthy. That's not what it's saying here. What Jesus says is he wants us to, as often as we think of him, to take of this, partake of the bread and the cup, because we're partaking of his body. His body took our body's place. But not rightly discerning the Lord's body, people have been weak and sick and have even died, not because of sin, but because they don't recognize Jesus took my healing for me. Jesus gave me salvation. He took care of all provision for me. He took all things. An exchange took place in this thing. His body became broken and beaten, and the stripes were laid on it. And when we come to the Lord, and we this week, someone Danny knows, someone that he dealt with that probably doesn't know much about the things of the Lord or anything, and it's always, please, in a begging, please pray for me, please pray for us, please this, please that. Notice that they're dying because they're not rightly discerning the Lord's body. They're not rightly discerning that I already did it for them. Whether it be provision or by health and healing, which is also provision. And that's why the Lord says, do it often. So I want you to remember what I did. I want you to never forget what I did. I want you to take hold of every benefit. Psalms 103. Forgave my sins. Heal my diseases. Now I can partake of the cup and I can say, thank you, Lord, as I take this bread and I take this juice, I can say I have taken the Lord Jesus unto myself. He's taken my sickness. He has a perfect whole resurrected from the dead body, and now I do too. The whole church don't get it. They don't get it. It's just a ritual to them. They come not rightly discerning the Lord's body, just popping the cracker and drinking the juice. I tell this on Brian. It was kind of cute. We went on an anniversary trip, and some friends of ours kept our kids. And Brian was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6. I don't remember how old he was. And we didn't go to church a lot because we never fit into the regular church system. So they went to church and had communion. And when they passed out the cracker and the juice, Brian said, that's the littlest snack I've ever had. Well, I'm telling you, that's kind of the way people take communion today. They're not rightly discerning the Lord's body that the Lord is proclaiming today through this ceremony that I can have total healing health. I can have anything that I'm missing or broken in replaced. See, it's remembering what the Lord did. This isn't just, I know a lot of churches, they do it every week and it's just no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. It is a big deal, especially when you find yourself in a place where you need provision. All right. Many weak and sick, and some have died because they're taking it at a ritual and not with understanding. Communion is a consummation of what our salvation benefits say. Jesus said to do this as often as you think of me. Why? He did not want us to forget to use our benefits, our health care benefits, our financial security. You could say it's our health care benefit. You know, like you might have a book or a something with your insurance policy that talks about how your benefits are. Well, this is Jesus' remembrance of his benefits. He finished it for you. You will never have to view yourselves as tired, broke, sick, or stupid. Jesus took care of it. In taking communion, it is a memorial to what Jesus did on our behalf. Psalms 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as I so prosper. So everything has to do with the mind here. What you believe or what you don't believe. Do you believe the fake news or you believe the good news? I mean, it's a choice. It's just that simple. We've had to have all these, I don't know what you even call them, people analyzing and doing all this stuff to mess it up for us. With their commentary and their great wisdom and all of that, just messed it up. The gospel's simple. It's a very simple message. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures. Luke 22:19. You're going to see throughout the time of my teaching and my next Prophet's Corner word, you're going to see this more clearly, what the Lord is saying. If you ever notice what the Lord gives me, it always starts with like at a place, and it's got a common thread all the way through it. This is Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It has meaning. Okay, back a few. Matthew 26. That's the way I take communion. I say, "Lord, whatever issue I'm having." I remember something that Joseph Prince said. There was a lady come to him and had a knot in her breast, and he talked to her about, well, Jesus didn't have any knots, doesn't have any knots in his breast. We are his body. And so she went home and she said, "I don't have any. Jesus, you don't have any knots in your breast. Therefore, I don't have any knots in my breast." And she went and had, I guess, a mammogram, and it was gone. Kind of like Creflo Dollar, when they showed him he had prostate cancer or whatever it was, and him and his son went into that room, and they were looking at those, whatever it was, the scan. He said, "We saw Jesus. My son saw it too. Jesus was in me. Where that thing was, Jesus was in him. He saw Jesus in him. There's no sickness and disease in him. There's nothing negative, nothing missing, nothing broken in him." We get a hold of this, man. It's a mental thing. Matthew 26:26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it." In fact, we should have had communion today. It just got past me. Well, maybe we'll do that here in a minute. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood for the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" What causes sickness? Sin. There was no sickness until sin entered. That's why Jesus would say, "Son, your sins be forgiven you. Rise up and walk." See, they had an understanding. The Jews have an understanding of covenant. The point here is, do this in remembrance of me. Rightly discern today why I did it and who it was for. He put Adam back in the garden. That's what he did. Their place of dominion. Ruling and reigning. Okay. Jesus took our place for sickness, health, for poverty, wealth, for fear and confusion, peace, wholeness, soundness in every area, nothing missing, nothing broken, peace, shalom, already done. All things are yours. Didn't write that scripture down, but it's the truth. So what are you putting, what are you putting up with? Valley of the Shadows. Satan's Spook House. Haunted Mansion. All right. A prosperous mind is a well mind. The result's going to be a well body. 3 John 2. Lord, he said this. This is the Lord speaking here. I took the thorns for you. Now listen to this. A crown of thorns was placed on my head so that you might be mentally whole. You reign in your thoughts first. That's what renewing the mind does. You become fully persuaded that what God's word says about you is so. And when you do, it's finished. It's over. It's done. You realize it. He's already done it. He's already done it. But people don't think so. Just look at them. People don't think so. But the truth is, it's already done. What does the word do? It conforms you into God's will. It brings you from over here on the left. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking out here, thinking the way the world thinks. It brings you into, well, I could say to the right way of thinking. You become thoroughly persuaded, and just like Abraham did. Abraham, hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. He called those things to be not as though they were. I'm the father of nations. I'm the father of nations. Sarah, I'm the father of nations. She said, I'm the mother of nations. The result was finally Isaac, the child of promise. The promise came forth. Full persuasion. Okay. Let's look at Colossians. This is talking about reigning. You're reigning in your thoughts. This is where the battle is. It's not a flesh and blood fight. It's not a physical fight. It is getting rid of these mental strongholds. This is what keeps us from God's best. A lot of people think a lot of things about why things are being kept from them, but I don't think they're rightly discerning the Lord's body. What he really did. It's a simple message. That's what the kingdom message is. That's what Jesus taught. When he talked to them about giving his body and his blood, drinking of his blood, they thought he's a cannibal. Many turned back from following him. They didn't rightly discern his time or what he said. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. This is the truth of the matter today. He says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So those that are seated with Christ are not going around saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are you going to do, God? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Wringing their hands, running around like Chicken Little. Sky's falling. I come across YouTubers that are just going, you just have to discount it because they're one-sided. They see the natural. They have no spiritual discernment of any kind. They don't see what God is doing. They're like Chicken Littles. The whole world's running around just like that. Back a page, Colossians 2:15. Some of this we looked at last week when I taught about not being moved. Out of your position. Out of your position. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he's already stripped the devil. He doesn't have any ammunition. Not really. Unless you give it to him. The one that holds all the power is you. Crown of thorns. We're going to look at that. The crown of thorns. This is Wikipedia, and it surprised me a little bit because Wikipedia is wicked. And a lot of their stuff, they're very biased. It says here, according to the three Gospels, a woven crown of thorns was placed on the head of Jesus during the events leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. It was one of the instruments of the passion employed by Jesus' captors because both to cause him pain and to mock his claim of authority, the crown. So we're going to look at some scriptures on that. I thought it was kind of cool the way that the Lord. We're just going to look at the crown of thorns. This is Matthew 27. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Okay, Mark 15, there's three scriptures. Mark 15, 7. Well, that isn't the right one. Let's see. Wait a minute, 17, not 7. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Purple was a sign of royalty, so they did it as a mockery. John 19, 25. Well, that's not right either, 1925. Let me look for it. Maybe it's 20.
19, verse 1. 2, verse 2.
Luke 19, 1. Oh.
John 19.
I'm in Luke. No wonder. 19 what? And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. I started learning some words here. Crown there in the Greek, or the Strong's Concordance, is a chaplet or a badge of royalty. And thorns just means thorns. But they did it to mock Jesus, but it represented authority over Satan for us. Now I want to look at Numbers 33:55 that brought me to that conclusion. There wasn't anything he did that didn't have some meaning, had to do with us. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those whom ye let remain of them shall be barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Felt like that was significant of our journey. So Jesus gave us the capability through our soul, what he went through, what thorns, that we don't have to. All right, the Cambridge Dictionary says thorn in your side is someone or something that continually causes problems for you. Something or someone that continually causes problems for you. The bottom line, he did it already, and it's up to you if you rule and reign with him. He certainly wants you to. Romans 5:17. Reign as kings in life. That's what he wants us to do. We're seated with him at the Father's right hand, and here's how we stay there. Jesus already won the victory for you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You never have to fear again. Now, these scriptures, we have, the Lord's had us here for months. This is Matthew 15. We're going to start here, verse 10. Well, you know what? Let's go up to 9. He says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth a man. Then 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Drop on down. It says here, 16, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the stomach, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And the heart here is not the blood pump. Your soul. That's the production center. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." There, it just confirmed just what I said. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Your blood pump doesn't think. "Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Okay? Mark 7. What do most people go through in the valley of the shadow? Physical symptoms. But their thoughts, they're not real. They're not really physical symptoms, even though you feel them. Because your emotions, your mind, that's where pain processes through, their thoughts, those feelings, it's all the thoughts. Most people say, "No, it's physical, I feel it, it hurts right here." That's not what the Word of God says. Let's see, 7. All right, just a minute. I don't have these marked in this Bible. All right, 14. "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from outside of a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." Now we know most of the world, all the world, most of the church believe just the opposite of this. They believe, "I need to go get medicine to treat the natural body." And that's how they take care of it. He says here, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." He said, "Are you so without understanding?" Verse 18, "Do you not perceive that whatever thing from outside entering into the man, it cannot defile him? But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Because it enters not into the heart. We've got to get a revelation today of the fact that the production center, the parable of the sower, is your mind. Whether it's going to be good or bad, Satan comes. In the parable of the sower, Satan comes and he brings things. There's like, what, 3 or 4 different things he brings to get you out of your harvest. In other words, to steal your crop. You're producing. You're hearing the Word of God. Faith is coming. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to bed, I'm getting up, and I'm waiting for the harvest. I'm resting, and I'm believing God, and I'm thanking Him that it's done. And while I'm doing it, here comes the devil. "You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Oh, it hurts there. It hurts there. It hurts there. Oh, look at your bank account. Look at your bank account. Look at your bank account." They've totally missed it. They absolutely know nothing about the kingdom. It's all the devil trying to get you into the natural realm and the physical realm to take care of everything. And the Lord's saying, no, as a man thinks. Let your thinking sways you one way or the other. Are you so without understanding? Also, do you not perceive that whatever thing from outside entering into the man, it cannot, it says, because it enters not into his heart, but into the stomach, and goes out into the draught, purging all foods. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. He's talking about what comes out of this mind. For from within, out of the heart, the production center, the soul, it's your thoughts. From within, out of the heart of men proceed, what? Evil thoughts. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. God calls natural human flesh evil. It proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I know someone, they're some kind of life coach, and everything they do is to help people get on the right kind of food and supplements to cure their diseases. Yet this person is sicker than all of them. That's what they believe, though. They have no concept. They don't know anything about faith and how faith works and how it's as a man thinks, not as a man feels. It didn't say as a man feels in his heart, so he is. It says as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. All right. One more, Mark 16. Let me read it. Jesus is leaving, and he's given them a commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name, shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who cares if they poisoned our food supply? Who cares if they put arsenic in our water? Who cares if they put stuff in the vaccines? Who cares? The only person that's going to affect is the ones that believe it. Because nothing shall by any means hurt you as you go about taking the gospel like I commissioned you. Paul, shake, shake. That's what Paul learned. But God had to let Paul go through some things and learn. There's a scripture that he says, I've learned to walk in resurrection power while in the body. Still going through them, pursuing me and trying to throw me in jail. Still having to put up with shipwrecks and being hungry and going without water and being in the deep and shipwrecks and being bit by serpents and shaking it off, being in prison, writing the epistles, getting out of prison, hadn't been out of prison very long, they come get me again and this time they kill me. But Paul said, none of these things move me. You want to be like Paul? He had his mental faculties where they needed to be. Brother Hagin, that's what he said. That was his, you could say, the key to his success. The number one thing that he really watched his thought life. He didn't let that mind wander and get off into areas. I had an opportunity this weekend to take something that happened and totally go down that rabbit hole. And I just said, I'm not doing it. Love doesn't hold an account, you know, of a wrong. Love does not take a suffered wrong. It will not respond to a suffered wrong. And I decided, I'm gonna let that pass. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to let the devil take me down that road. It's learning to discipline ourselves to not give in to the flesh, but to keep walking in the Spirit. You know, the weeks we went, 4 or 5 weeks we did on the fruit of the Spirit, this is how our walk will be. If we really want to walk, like that word said this morning, where everything we say comes to pass, it literally does, we're going to have to keep those mind, those thoughts in check. They're going to have to be flowing with the Word of God. We can't say one thing and do another. We can't think one way and say another. It's not going to work that way. When we first got into faith, we just thought, it's just how many times you say it. No, it isn't. It's a thought life. It's about a mind that has stayed on the Lord. It's a mind that is set in God's ways and His precepts. And when the devil comes with his stuff, you're not moved by what he does. You can be like Smith Wigglesworth. Oh, it's only you.